This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
I'm Mark Packer. My partner is back after being on assignment. Mr. Durham, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks to Anish Shroff for filling in yesterday. Appreciate it very much. It's great to see you. My assignment yesterday kind of got canceled. I don't know what you want me to say.
Well, we didn't know what you were doing. You might want to tell people, including myself, what you were doing, because I have no idea where you were.
I was at the Bobby Dodd Memorial Golf Tournament, 27th annual. The Bobby Dodd Coach of the Year Award, of course, is presented annually in conjunction with the Peach Bowl. Saw some of your friends, saw some people that are big. I mean, y'all want to talk about some old prime time with the Pac-Man fans yesterday. Appalachian State head coach Jerry Moore was there. Coach. Saw the Hall of Famer yesterday. The 2019 Bobby Dodd Coach of the Year Award winner, Kyle Winningham, was there. He's a big fan of yours, of course, on the off-campus program.
And to Utah, yes, sir. He's a good coach.
Yeah. Former Duke head football coach Fred Goldsmith was there. He's kind of one of the guys now involved in the organizational side of the Coach of the Year. Ken Hatfield was there. Saw some other luminaries. Saw a couple of former Tennessee Vols, Sean Bryson and Al Wilson. So nice group, but unfortunately, we didn't pull the trigger yesterday, Pack. Clubs never came out of the car. We had torrential rain here yesterday in Metro Atlanta, and actually some really nasty weather along the way too. So, hey, there were three. I told you this was before we went on the air. There were three charity golf tournaments yesterday, all kind of college football centric, and all three got rained out. Would be an understatement. Washed out. Might be more accurate. Well, let's put it that way. So, nonetheless, nice event to be invited to, and always a pleasure to see some of those guys. And Will Healy, the head coach of the Charlotte 49ers, was there yesterday, Pack, one of the rising stars, as you know, in this business,
who is.
Works for our buddy Mike Hill up there north of the city. And got to spend some time with Coach Healy and Mike McIntyre, of course, who was former head coach at Colorado and San Jose State, who's got some Duke ties to the ACC. So nice day. Got to catch up with some guys and watch it rain out in Johns Creek, Georgia.
Yeah. Well, the 19th hole was busy. I know that much. Economy was picked up with the rain out with the golf tournament. All right. Now that I know what
box
you were
lunch
doing,
is always at a premium.
Well, you know, you guys listen. You guys are living large on that golf course. We know how you roll on that thing. Now, listen. Yesterday, I get done with the radio show. I walk upstairs, and 7:15, Mrs. P's making dinner. And she goes, by the way, you have another delivery. Yeah. I said, oh, really? And there's a big box. Mm. This box.
Uh-oh.
This box comes rolling
in. Kevin Spacey, what's in the box?
So I got no idea what it is, where it's coming from, or anything else. So prepare yourself. First of all, you know I love the handwritten note. I live for a handwritten note. So I open up the note first. Here it is. Wake up the echoes. University of Notre Dame.
Oh, my.
From the desk of Muffet McGraw. Right there. Now, she doesn't send me ACC
Apparently
Network.
Leftover stock.
That's it, because it's not ACC Network stationery. It's from the desk of Muffet McGraw. Wake up the echoes. Pack.
Right.
She goes, sorry it took so long, but I finally got the, I'm not going to tell you what it is. Always enjoy being on your show and love watching it when I'm not on. Hope you get some time to relax this summer, Muffet McGraw. All right, so that'll go up on our handwritten note board, all right? So, Wes Durham.
I am really excited here.
Wes Durham.
Really excited.
I will just say this.
Yeah.
I opened this up yesterday, and I put it on, and I chased my wife around the house with this on.
Yeah, you did. Yep.
Here we go. Get
this. Ladies and gentlemen. Oh.
Right here.
How good
from
is
the
this?
National champions.
How good is this?
From the national champions. This is really steel right here. The national champions. Wake up the echoes. Right there. Notre Dame. Wes Durham. Let's go. You don't think I'm not going to do the show with this thing on today? You're out of your mind.
Mark Packer's going to wear a fencing helmet rest of the show.
Number one.
And he'll look like a comic strip character.
I look like the Hornet.
You
don't think I'm ready for
If they
for
ever
Halloween?
Updated the man in the iron mask, you'd be the guy.
Wes, where'd you go? You over here?
Yeah. No, you can see clearly, I'm sure.
I can. I can't wait to drive.
Can you see clearly?
I can. I can see you perfectly clear. I see you right there in camera number two. And if you don't think I'm not wearing this during Halloween, you're out of your mind. This is Halloween right here, boys and girls. I will scare the living you-know-what out of kids coming down the street with this bad boy on Halloween. I tell you, it's a lot more comfortable.
Mama, that man in the house has gone crazy.
This really, I got to tell you.
Mama, that man.
Now, behind us, you see Lars Tiffany and the UVA lacrosse team signed at the national championship. I got to tell you, the Notre Dame national champs in fencing, this might be one of the coolest things we've seen. And I'll tell you what, you couldn't hurt me if you tried. I mean, this thing is steel. It's kind of heavy, but it's great. I mean, it's comfortable. It's breathable. I think you can use it during COVID, during the pandemic. I think this is certainly, maybe I come walking in and say, ma'am, I don't have a mask, but I do have a Notre Dame fencing helmet. Would that be okay? Can I come to your restaurant? Can I tailgate with the folks at the North Carolina soccer match? Field hockey, can I make an appearance?
My gosh.
How about a Clemson baseball game? Can I come in here without the mask?
Oh, my
gosh.
This
thing is great.
Oh, my gosh.
So thank you to Notre Dame, the national champs.
You're unbelievable.
Absolutely cool.
Gia. Thank you, Gia.
That is really, really cool. I got to tell you, I've never seen one before, but that is great. This is what we do. National champions right here.
So that's going to go back there in the corner? Back in the corner there?
I'm going to have to play around and see how I can make this because, you know, we got the helmets. It's that time of the year. You know, we got the lacrosse helmet, the Josh Pastner face mask. Like where you see the Louisville helmet, I may have to replace it. And again, there's something that changes every day on the set. I'm going to have to figure out a way to get that bad boy lodged up there behind us because this is really great. Very cool. So I appreciate Muffet and the folks at Notre Dame for hooking us up. This is really of all the stuff we get, I mean, the Karen Shelton back scratching, you know, field hockey sticks, those are great for the back. Dave Dorn and the pancake syrup.
Yeah.
We got some cool stuff from the league. I mean,
right. This
is really cool. The top hat, of course, that might be a pretty good match, don't you think? Wake top hat with a Notre Dame fencing helmet.
Yeah.
Mix and match ACC.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
I mean,
really cool.
Now, all of a sudden, we got some stuff, don't we? We got some stuff.
And I appreciate Muffet's handwritten note. She does not realize how much I appreciate
it. Absolutely.
It'll go up in our – I know you can't see it. In fact, it's been up since we've last done a show together. But I've got all the handwritten notes that I get back from ACC personnel up on our handwritten note board. So, very cool. Excellent. Love that gift. Yeah. That was outstanding.
Very great. That right there goes toward the top of the chart in terms of gifts,
no doubt.
And thank you to Muffet McGraw. Job well done.
Excellent.
Big show coming up. Abby Sweet will join us in the 8 o'clock hour. Notre Dame softball outfielder Stephen Schock, the Virginia closer, is going to be here in the 8 o'clock hour. 9 o'clock hour, Duke women's soccer Sophie Jones will be with us, and Blake James, the Miami Athletics Director, at 9:30. Remember now, the NIL is set to roll here. We'll talk to Blake about that among some other ACC news and notes. Always very insightful. And we'll get to your calls, 844-SAY-ACCM as well. I know you guys touched on this yesterday. The North Carolina stat that came out over the weekend is unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, just from the
– about championships?
Brian Ives, I know, tweeted it out. The 248 pack?
No. 284, 285.
284. I'm sorry. 285. 285.
Right. Well, they picked up two this weekend. One was a split with Duke, but it counts. It's a championship. And, you know, the numbers as far as what the North Carolina men have won in this conference, 147 championships. The women have won 138. And then you compare it with what else is going on. I mean, Virginia as an institution has won 143, NC State 139. I mean, that is a remarkable feat. I don't care what team you root for and what sport you love. As far as winning right. conference championships, that is just a staggering number. It really is.
Well, and you know this because you follow college athletics like I do, and I'm not sure fans understand. Now, maybe they've heard of this. There used to be the NACTA Cup, and it's now the Learfield Cup, which is a trophy awarded at the end of the year for comprehensive sports excellence around the college landscape. And typically, I mean, North Carolina's challenged for that in the past. They've won it in the past. Stanford, Texas, I'm trying to think of other schools, Pac, that have been involved in it. And what I'm getting at is they're traditionally schools that offer more sports than you would think. In other words, I think Carolina's in the high 20s. Texas, I know, is in that neighborhood. Stanford was in the 30s until they had some cuts right after the pandemic started last year. Yeah, Ohio State, there's one for sure. I think Florida's been involved, right, in the Learfield Cup as well. They are a school that also offers a vast number of sports. But it makes you think about how the inventory of your particular athletic department goes. And you have to look at, I think, Pac, sometimes the number of sports you offer and how you're doing. And I'll share an example with you. About 15 years ago, Georgia Tech finished like in the top 20 of the Learfield Cup. I think it was called the NACTA Cup still at the time. Georgia Tech finished in the top 20. Well, Georgia Tech only at the time was offering 17 sports. So when you have 17 sports and you finish in the top 20, that means your vast entire season, your full athletic program has been, for the most part, very successful. And I think that's kind of – you almost have to look at winning percentage. I'm not telling Texas and, you know, all these other schools that they haven't had great programs, Carolina and the sort they have, but you almost have to do those cups based on winning percentage sometimes. And having this discussion kind of today, we thought we'd look at schools who, you know, maybe are on the move. And you can see it whether you're a fan of one school in the ACC and we don't name your school, Pack. I still think you got a chance to appreciate what's being done in this league by this group of athletic directors we talk about all the time.
That would be true. And I think the other thing that comes into play here, if you watch ACC Network, especially in the last 6 weeks, by the time we get finished with March Madness, spring sports take center stage. Mm-hmm. Olympic sports take center stage. And, you know, if you've just watched our show in the last couple of weeks, you have probably learned more about
right.
field hockey, lacrosse, softball, et cetera, et cetera, and realize that, wow, there's a lot going on in these conferences. It's not just an ACC thing. This is going on across the country. And the conference has done a brilliant job, not good, brilliant job, as far as executing incredible success in soccer, lacrosse, field hockey,
yep.
softball. And I go down this list here, tennis, golf, et cetera, et cetera. And you realize, hey, there's more to life than just football and basketball, which has always received all the attention from a media perspective, hype,
yep.
all that kind of stuff. And again, if you're running an athletic department, we'll have Blake James on later in the show. He can touch base on this, that, hey, you know what? You're juggling, you know, sometimes 20, 25, 30 balls in the air at all times. And yeah, while the football and the basketball, the revenue producing sports generate the hype and interest, hey, the object is to have great success with your entire athletic department. And that's true whether Mark Packer's putting yep. on a national championship fencing helmet from Notre Dame or whatever the case may be, right? So we're going to kind of take that into consideration today to have debates and just kind of put some stuff out there about athletic departments on the rise, where it's more than just your football yep. and your basketball programs. And so we're going to kind of address that today on the show.
There you go, along with some great guests, and we're here for the full three. You know the story. Fencing helmet and everything.
Awesome.
Unbelievable.
Really cool.
Yeah. Unbelievable. All right. Sit tight. Tuesday show is underway. We'll come back and dive into this topic. There is one school that I think you're going to be surprised to find out is off to a tremendous start. There are others, too, right there with them. But one school here in the last couple of years has got a lot of things going from a positive standpoint, including this season, and it's been tough for everybody. We'll start the roll call, if you will, right after this on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Mr. Durham working on his eyewear. It's all that heavy rain yesterday at the golf course wore you out.
You know, we did watch it rain. They came down the ninth fairway. We could see it from the clubhouse, the confines of the clubhouse, and the back porch area in 2x2s, I want to tell you. It rained so hard you could not see down the fairway at times.
Well,
yesterday.
I'm sure that ice cube was perfectly within reach.
No. We had there was no 19th hour social. All right, let's get to this. This topic today is a little more broad stroke. It is good because I think sometimes when you get involved in the intensity of a particular sport in the season, and then you step back and you want to stay with the news of the day type deal, transfer portals, NIL, all that. You forget the common mission, and that is to be successful in your programs and graduate your student-athletes, right? And I think that's still mission number one, job one, if you will. But some of these programs have really, really moved up the line here pretty well. And, I'll go back to something we've said on this show, and one of them is going to be with us today in Blake James of Miami. We have right now arguably one of the better groups of athletic directors comprehensively in the ACC, Mark, than I think we've seen in the league's history, right? And I think that's starting to show in the success of these teams.
Well, let's start with a school. Let's go with Pitt to start things off. We just had Heather Like on the show last week, and she has done a great, great job. And just take a snapshot of what's happening right now with Pittsburgh. And let's start with soccer. You know, they were number one in the country on the men's side for a long time. They got knocked off by Clemson, but man, they're a number two national seed. But they've got things going on right now. This is a high-scoring, fun team. They put a six spot against Monmouth to start the NCAA tournament. This is a team that can win the national championship. And they've been good now, not this year, but they've been good for the last couple of years. They are building a monster program at Pittsburgh. So soccer would be one of many at Pittsburgh that Heather Like and company are going to really, really enjoy.
And how many times have we talked about volleyball, right? I mean, you talk about soccer, you talk about volleyball, Dan Fisher. They go to the, Elite Eight for the first time in school history. They do an unbelievable job there. He's had outstanding players. Their continuity is solid. So certainly you could throw the volleyball program in there. And now, see, what you have to do when you build something like this is you got to have somebody go take the next step. Well, soccer, certainly with Jay Vidovich, has done well. We talk about volleyball with Dan Fisher. Now, and you've said this, the Cinderella story, potentially one of the two or three in the ACC this year, is what Mike Bell's done in baseball, Pat.
Awesome. Baseball has been a great story. Notre Dame and Pittsburgh really are 1 and 1A from a national perspective of great storylines this year in college baseball. Notre Dame, by the way, actually both these teams lead their respective divisions. When you take a look at the Atlantic and the Coastal, at the top you're going to see Notre Dame and you're going to see Pittsburgh. But man, the Panthers, despite the weather, anything else, it doesn't matter. They're playing great, and they have been a tremendous, tremendous story. So again, this is what we're talking about: momentum within a program, up and above necessarily just even your high revenue sports like football and basketball.
And I think we can throw wrestling in there too, Pac. They're one of the principal teams. Obviously, have done a great job. Keith Gavin's the co-coach of the year in wrestling at Pittsburgh. 11th, you see, at the national championships. Their best finish since 1970. So, again, may not have as many sports as other bigger institutions, but they have been they've been really successful. And, oh, by the way, you say, well, wait a second. We're talking about sports that maybe aren't at the marquee level. You're going to be surprised to hear this. Pittsburgh's been very, very consistent with their football program since 2015, Mark.
Well, and they also put more players in the NFL draft from any other ACC school over the weekend. No disrespect to Notre Dame. They're an independent. I know the ACC count them is with the total for 51. But, you know, for teams that play ACC schedules every year, Pitt put six players in the NFL draft. They got a ton of dudes back on the offensive side and should be a blast to watch. Here's Kenny Pickett thrown to Jordan Addison. Another touchdown. Yep. You're going to hear that combination all year long. So I think if you're a Pitt fan, you know what? I'm just telling you, embrace what's happening, because Heather Like has done a tremendous job with all their programs, and they are certainly trending in the right direction.
Yeah, and it's definitely one where the stock's going up. You could also say the same thing about what's happening at Louisville. Vince Tyree's taken over and kind of calmed the waters a little bit. They were pretty choppy when he assumed the helm as the athletics director at Louisville. They had really good coaches, but you kind of had to breathe some confidence maybe back in their progress, and that has clearly happened. In fact, one of the sports is field hockey, right? Justine Sowery was with us back in the fall. They've had a remarkable rise. They are the only team to have beaten North Carolina, and they're going to the Final Four this week too.
Yep, it's an ACC Big Ten showdown in the semifinals in field hockey. And listen, it would not surprise me if we have a North Carolina-Louisville national championship game. That could very well be the case. Yep. And there's no doubt field hockey's rolling. We mentioned volleyball with Pittsburgh a second ago. How about volleyball with Louisville? The ACC champs, Katie George, got the pom-poms out with a big smile on her face. We've had a number of coaches, players in the volleyball department at Louisville. And again, feeling good about life, winning a championship, taking care of business. The ladies are getting it done.
Yep. And of course, three titles in the last 6 years in the ACC for the Cardinals. And then you get the ones that you kind of know about. And that also kind of helps lift it. And we'll start with women's basketball, because Jeff Walls has done such a great job there. Not only have they been successful, but three straight Elite Eights for the Cards. And more to come, to be honest with you. I mean, there's no reason to think they won't be one of the top teams in the ACC again next year.
Jeff Walls has built a great program. Not a good one, a great one. A national contender, an ACC factor, needless to say. And they love their basketball and the bluegrass, whether it be the men or the women. And then we go baseball. And I know it was a lousy weekend for the Cards. They finally got swept, first time since joining the ACC, getting swept in a three-game series. But they've been a standard when it comes to consistency within a league that really does care about baseball. The Louisville Cardinals are legit. They're an Omaha-bound program. They've got a big one tonight, by the way, against Vanderbilt, which we'll get into later on. But Dan McDonald has built a national power with Louisville baseball.
Yep. As we said earlier, you know, North Carolina's dominance in terms of championships with nearly 300 is certainly impressive. And while Carolina has a bigger inventory of sports, you see the chances they've got, but they've also got really good spring programs. But you start to see the momentum building for other places, Pittsburgh, Louisville. NC State is a place, Pac, where I think momentum is building as well. And our buddy Boo Cargan has taken over there. But you start looking at football and kind of the continuity, and we've talked about it a little bit this spring. There's a sense of maybe NC State kind of being in the mix a little bit behind Clemson in that group of teams that you wonder if they can battle toward the top and perhaps potentially challenge the Tigers too.
Well, really, just other than the one hiccup season amongst that group, they've been pretty good. Listen, nobody's had any success against Clemson, so there's no shame in that, and that's where the Wolfpack wants to get to. But as far as putting guys in the league, as far as winning games on a consistent basis, I think you can see the building blocks from Dave Dorn's perspective. And with all these guys back, there's a lot of people whispering down the hallway about NC State football in 2021 as maybe being one of those dark horse teams that can cause an issue across the board. So Dave Dorn's done a nice job. But it's not just football, right? I mean, we get into hoops too. And you got to go Wes Moore. I mean, we just talked about Louisville women's program. How about what NC State's been able to do in the hardwood with Wes Moore? I mean, this, again, another tremendous program. I want to emphasize the word program. It's not just a spike, oh, well, they had a nice year. No, it's much more than that. They're now winning ACC titles. They've been a national seed in terms of being in one of the top four. They understand it. They're recruiting at that level too, but Wes has done a great, great job.
Yep, and lots of optimism about next year. Elisa Cunane, Reina Perez, a lot of that core coming back for the Wolfpack. It's also been a successful journey here in the last handful of years for Pat Popolizio and their wrestling program as well. You start thinking about that. He shared Coach of the Year honors this season, but the Wolfpack has won three straight ACC championships, Mark.
Yep. Legit in a league that is starting to take this sport seriously, and you can tell by just watching all the teams ranked in the top 25, the top 15, the top 10, what they're doing on the national level. NC State's the real deal. There's no question about that. And I'm even throwing the golf program, too, quickly. I know we're up against the break here real quick, but you know that's a crew that right now is ranked in the top 10, winning a ton of tournaments, and has a ton of momentum. Again, there are a lot of sports to cover here, but we're kind of highlighting some programs that up and above your football and basketball program, other things that are brewing. There's no doubt there's a lot of momentum right now in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Yeah, and swimming and diving is also part of the Wolfpack success as well. They were upset by Louisville this year, but yeah, that snapped a streak of six in a row in their dominance in the pool. So, I mean, you throw that on top of some of the other stuff we're talking about. It's not hard to see why NC State would be on this list with Pittsburgh and Louisville. But here's the trick about the list. It's not a perspective of your particular school as much as it is understanding the competition they're seeing. You know, it's funny. One of these common bonds we have with all these coaches is they tell us how tough the league is. Just about every sport, how tough the league is. Well, now you're starting to see why the league is so tough, because everybody's trying to get to that that level of success. So we'll cover more of these schools as well in this hour, and get your calls at 844-SAY-ACCN as well. Don't forget, we got softball coming up this weekend. Excited about the matchup we've got. Number 21 Duke and NC State at Saturday afternoon at 4:30. This is game two of a four-game weekend series, and these are the final games of the regular season. We'll also have the second game of a twin bill in the series finale on Sunday at noon. ACC softball all season long, right here on ACC Network and live on the ESPN app. When we come back, another look at a couple of other programs to keep an eye on in terms of their improvement. Virginia's on the list. Carla Williams is, she and Heather Leick are on a list of athletic director achievement too. And Duke. Man, you can't show this without showing the Blue Devils. Gina Kim clinching the ACC title. Back after this.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, dog walking music for you bright and early, 7:34 a.m. sharp. Get out of bed. Let's get to work. It's May 4th. May the 4th be with you. All that cheesy Star Wars stuff. All right, Mr. Durham, we got more teams to address here before we get to stuff.
Wait, there are a lot of people that like Star Wars. Yeah, there are a lot of people that are big fans of the George Lucas stuff.
Awesome. I'm not knocking them.
Come on now.
If you like it, get it all over.
All right.
If you don't, move on. We're going to move on.
Yeah.
You ready?
I was a big Chewbacca guy. I always thought Chewbacca was hilarious. All right. Yeah, sure. All right. We told you Pitt, NC State, Louisville, those are teams. You start looking at others. I would offer you Pack in areas. Again, here's a team, institution, a lot of sports, gone through some coaching transitions, especially in football, one in baseball where a legend retires and Mike Martin Jr. takes over. But I'd put Florida State up there. I'd say Florida State. Mark Kerkorian was with us last week, I think, on the soccer side, women's basketball side, with the success they've had. But everybody looks at football first and has for years, and rightly so. Not a wrong approach here. But when you start looking at men's basketball, women's basketball, softball with Lonnie Almeida, I mean, Florida State's got a lot to pull from here.
Amen. Where would you like to start? Well, we're going to start with the guy that just flies underneath the radar that has built a blue blood, new blood program, because I think you have to. While football is obviously always going to be center stage at Florida State, and I do have faith that they're going to figure it out, but there's no doubt when it comes to the hardwood now, Leonard Hamilton has built a great program. I keep emphasizing the word programs here on so many of these schools and their teams because that's what it is. It's not a spike. I mean, Florida State Hoops has been good now for a long, long time, and they're not going anywhere. I mean, the way Leonard recruits, he just got the contract extension. And, yeah, they're putting guys into the next level like that dude right there, Scotty Barnes. But you know what? Is there any doubt that Florida State, you know they're going to be good again next year. And I still have faith in the football program to figure it out. You can't be that good for that long and have a hiccup and things have gone sideways. I get that. But the foundation is there for Florida State football to get back in the conversation. They're going to have to recruit, and they can. And so I trust that Mike Norvell can figure that out. But Leonard Hamilton has already figured it out, and you cannot argue that.
Yeah. Well, and I think you're also looking at the structure below what football set the standard for as the athletic department at Florida State. And there's no doubt that the success of football is going to determine a lot of the things that David Coburn spoke with us on a few weeks ago. However, below that football success, if that happens, then you're talking about a program that is prime. Because when you look at women's basketball, I mean, Sue Semeraz done a phenomenal job there. Brooke Wyckoff did an incredible job filling in for her this past year. I look at Florida State as one of those teams, too, that can be in the conversation with Louisville and NC State and, you know, Carolina and whoever else, Kenny Brooks and Virginia Tech. I mean, when you go to the NCAA tournament consistently as they've had, Pack, that's a huge statement.
I'm going to fast forward the clock here, too. Let's go women's softball. Lonnie Alameda has joined us many, many times.
Yeah, Lonnie.
National champions, ACC fixture. Right now they're chasing Clemson, but it's neck and neck coming down to the last weekend and so forth. But Florida State softball is the real deal now. They are a national power, and they're not going anywhere either. I mean, this is a group that's going to hang around for a long, long time. And again, Lonnie's done such a great job, and her girls can flat out play. They'll be a tough out moving forward, too.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned Clemson here because Clemson's kind of almost one of those that's there, right? They're not – the rising at Clemson is kind of – I mean, with the exception of a shot here or there, Clemson has gotten a fairly comprehensive program, don't you think? What Dan Radakovich and that group have done with coaches and the like. And you just mentioned softball. I think that's one of the best stories going. So to say they're on the rise, well, softball might be. But everything else looks to be in fairly good shape. And in fact, I'd say behind Carolina, you're looking at Clemson.
You can probably get in that debate. And I think, listen, you can pick every ACC school and find a ton of highlights. But as far as Florida State goes, you know, right now, you just mentioned Mark Krikorian being on with us. They're the number one national seed in the women's tournament. And women's soccer right now is smoking. And I mean, they are just stupid good. When we talk to their players and coaches, there's a little unfinished business. They kind of feel a national championship is in their grasp. And of course, with the soccer tournament getting cranked up again tomorrow for the ladies, we'll see what happens on that front. But I mean, you have to include women's soccer when you start talking about Florida State.
Absolutely. Yep, no doubt. And looking forward to seeing where Coach Krikorian takes the team. University of Virginia, Carla Williams. Has done. Oh, yes, sir.
I was going to throw in one more real quick, and I know we're going to move forward here. But, you know, let's also keep in mind that the men's golf program is ranked number two in the country. And if you don't think they can't win a national championship this year, you are wrong. They can. Again, this league is loaded with men's golf. Five teams in the top ten. So we'll throw those in there real quick, too.
Yeah. I was going to mention Virginia as well in this segment because – the Cavaliers, we were talking about Carla Williams as their athletic director. You start looking at, and again, men's basketball and football, that's one thing, but both have been built. Cavaliers obviously won a national title a couple of years ago in basketball. Bronco Mendenhall didn't kind of have the year he wanted to have, but Virginia had momentum from going to the championship game of the ACC. But Pac, those are the ones that we focus on a lot. I mean, we just had – you know, the championship men's tennis program at the University of Virginia. There's some movement there in the other sports. And, of course, what Lars has done in lacrosse, it gives you – it just kind of buoys the whole department, I think.
Without a doubt. I mean, there's no question that it kind of feeds on itself. From a positive standpoint, and a negative. When all of a sudden, you know, terrible things are happening, it just seems like everybody wants to try to get out of the way. When one team wins, man, everybody wants to feed on it, right? And they kind of build upon this stuff. And that's kind of what we're talking about with programs on the rise. And when you start talking about Virginia, you know, listen, you mentioned tennis a second ago. You know, to me, I keep an eye on baseball. And they won the national championship in 2015. I know they got off to a tough start, but Virginia seems to be picking up momentum as we're going down the road here. So I keep an eye on that. And again, you mentioned Carla Williams. Congratulations to Carla, to Jack Swarbrick, and to Heather Like. They were just announced as far as the best athletic directors in the country for Sports Business Journal. Three of the five finalists are from the ACC, which includes, I just mentioned, Carla Williams of Virginia.
If you go to basketball at Virginia, all you really need to know is 128 wins in the conference since 2012 and 2013. It's the most successful program since then. That is, I mean, now, if you walked beyond the walls of the ACC and asked that question, I'd say out of 10, maybe three would get it, Pac. Maybe three.
Well, if you've been paying attention.
Because it'd be Duke, Carolina, and, oh, yeah, Virginia.
Yeah, well, I mean, that O Virginia needs to be Virginia, and then mention Duke, Carolina, Florida State, whatever combination. I mean, Tony Bennett, enough said. Great guy, great program, wins the right way, conducts his business the right way. I mean, he is basically the poster child for, hey, here's what you want, right? If you got a, if you had a son, you'd say, you know what? I'd let him go play for Tony Bennett in a millisecond. In a millisecond.
Yep. And we mentioned men's tennis at Virginia. They won the ACC championship and went undefeated this season against conference opponents as they get ready for the national tournament as well. To me, when you run through a league like the ACC undefeated in any sport, it's impressive. And the Cavaliers have done that. And I think, as Pac said earlier, when we were talking about Florida State's golf program, you don't think these guys aren't capable of winning a national championship? Oh, they're plenty capable. Yeah, plenty capable.
The NCAA men's and women's tennis field for the tournament was announced yesterday, and we'll get to this later on, but the nine from the ACC for men, nine from the ACC on the women's side. That includes number one overall seed North Carolina in women's tennis. But nevertheless, we'll get into all that stuff later on. Real quickly, before we go to break, Duke, D-U-K-E. Coach gave a down year. Yeah, but you know what? You don't think he's going to stay there, do you? Nah, they'll be back. But I tell you what, it's more than just basketball at Duke. Look at all the sports that have won ACC championships this calendar year. Man, we're talking men's and women's fencing, lacrosse, golf. The list goes on and on and on. The Blue Devils are putting out a really good product.
Yeah, to me, the nature of this, four ACC titles in an academic year, is that's strong, especially in this academic year, Mark. I mean, when you start thinking about all the things they've had to go through, and in particular, Duke's protocols as an institution have been significant as well. So I think we gave you a half dozen or so that you look at, you know, kind of where this 284, 285 number Carolina put up there, you can see that it's not just the schools with the broad-based curriculums in terms of athletics that have a chance here. There's plenty that is on the move. More to come on the Tuesday edition of Packer and Durham. In fact, in case you missed it from yesterday, we're going to go goalies. You guys went goalies yesterday? This is awesome.
Lot of lacrosse.
I mean, way to go, Pack. Full sail lacrosse goalie talk coming up. With a pair of Tar Heels, right after this on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
In Durham on a Tuesday. Mr. Durham, while you were on the links yesterday, Anish Shroff was here, and we talked a ton of lacrosse, because there's a lot going on, both the men's and the women's side. And we had Taylor Marino on, who was just great. She was the MVP of the ACC tournament. And we brought her on, talked about being the goalie of the Red Hot Tar Heels, and said, first of all, congrats on being the tournament MVP. And you know, all that hard work was certainly worth it.
No, 100%. I think especially with, you know, COVID ending our season last year, we really wanted to kind of, you know, put our heads down and do a lot of work in the off season. And I think that definitely paid off yesterday.
Taylor, you are a goalie, and I know this from working with a goalie and Quint Kachnick quite often. Goalies have their quirks. So what are some of the quirks that you have as a goalie?
Oh, I don't really have that many quirks, I wouldn't say. But I guess, like, just I really like to be in, like, my own headspace, I think, especially, like, in the locker rooms. Like, my teammates will kind of just see me, like, sitting in the corner, eyes closed, just kind of visualizing, you know, how I want to feel and how I want to play. So I would say that's probably really my only quirk in terms of, you know, what I kind of do to prepare myself. That's kind of a little out of the ordinary in terms of everybody else on my team.
I think of lacrosse, high scoring, up and down, physical, fast. But you know what? Quite frankly, it was all about defense. I mean, when you only give up 14 goals in three games in a league as good as this one, that tells me everything I need to know about why your team's winning. You're playing great defense.
Yeah, thank you. I think for us, it was just a matter of really trying to limit their scoring opportunities. And I think, you know, credit to Syracuse because they did not go away, and credit to their defense too. Like, their defense really gave us a hard time. So I think it definitely was a battle on both ends of the field. So I think at the end of the day, you know, my defense kind of gave me the shots that I wanted to see. They kind of made my job a lot easier. So, you know, without them, I probably wouldn't be sitting in this chair talking to you guys.
All right, Taylor, let's get into your other hobby and your other passion, and that is art. Can you tell us how you became an artist? What inspired you? How did you get into this?
Yeah, so my mom actually went to school for art, studied art, and it's kind of, you know, worn off on me and my sister a little bit. So she actually attends the same school that my mom went to, and that was kind of like my inspiration. That's kind of like where the artistic stuff comes from. But you know, I kind of got into like painting shoes and doing other artwork a lot when, you know, I suffered an ACL injury my senior year of high school. So I had a lot of extra time on my hands. So that's kind of like where it all started. And that's kind of where I really started to experiment with different things, mainly on shoes.
How cool was it though, designing the Unity t-shirts that you all have been showcasing? Cause I mean, this whole Unity effort has really been impressive and important to the league. And I'm sure that when you said, all right, let me go create something, that had to be something you give it some thought, and then you go get creative with it and have some fun with it.
Yeah, exactly. We kind of sat down as a team and we went over, you know, what's important to us, what we really believe in. And I was just kind of sitting there taking notes on the side because I already knew Jenny was going to be like, Taylor, you're on this, right? So was kind of getting myself prepared for that one, which, you know, inevitably did happen. But it was just nice seeing my team, you know, have the belief in me to kind of come up with a design, especially a design that's that important. And, you know, that was going to be seen by a lot of people.
Had to be a little chip on the shoulder seeing Duke number two, didn't it? I mean, after the first go around, as crazy as that game was on a Thursday night, that ACC men's lacrosse on ACC Network on Thursday nights, I suspect you guys were excited to see Duke yesterday.
No, I mean, whenever you get the chance to play another ACC team, it's really just a special, special moment. So, I mean, whether it's Duke or any other teams in the conference, you get to play them, it's always going to be a special game. We're all ranked very highly, so it's always going to be a battle and a war. It's just awesome to be a part of.
And Colin, true freshman in this league, in this season, when there's so much experience, so much talent, so many guys who've played 4, 5, 6 years, what do you feel has allowed you to play at such a high level as a true freshman in maybe what's the toughest lacrosse league in the history of the sport?
I think it's just playing loose, having fun, and I think it's ultimately the competition I face every day in practice. Our team has so much depth, and, you know, I think I'm going up against some of the best competition every day, and I think it just allows me to be prepared for the games.
Why North Carolina? In terms of, hey, that's where I want to go play lacrosse.
Well, I just came down here. I saw the Carolina blue sky. The coaching staff's incredible, and this is where I wanted to be from the start.
That's it?
Colin,
wait. Anish, hold on a second. I want to follow up on that. So, Carolina blue sky, Nice coaches. That was it. That's the list. I mean, it ends there.
Well, no, there's more. I mean, the first time I came down here, I was very, very blown away by the school. Obviously, a lot of history on the lacrosse team. I mean, it's a great balance of family, academics, lacrosse, and that's the team motto. And, I mean, you just can't beat it.
So that's it. I mean, it had nothing to do with, you know, scenery, weather.
Oh, no, the school's beautiful. The school's beautiful.
Well, not talking about that, Colin. I'm just talking about, hey, you're coming.
I know what you mean, right?
Colin, the story behind the hair. What's the story with the hair?
So, I mean, I just kind of felt a bit impulsive, and I had a couple of my friends back at the dorm help me out and cut it up. And, you know, I tried it out. I've always kind of wanted a mohawk. I've had a shaved head for pretty much my whole time I've been here, and I just want a little bit of a change. So I went with the mohawk, and I think it's looks pretty good. Has worked out for me so far, so I can't complain about it.
All right, so the game's going on.
Hold on, Anish.
So the game's going, because the goalies are a little different. You guys, I mean, every time we've had an interview with any goalie in this league, men or women, there's always something interesting going on. We just talked to Taylor Marino, and she's really creative with the shoes and all. You know, she's got that creative flair going on. You know, your counterpart at Duke was bitten by a shark and couldn't wait to get back in the oceans. I mean, there's crazy stories with all you goalies, men or women. So during a match, ball's on the other end. What are you doing? You're singing songs. You're looking at the crowd. I mean, what do you do as a goalie? What goes through your head?
I do sing songs. It helps me stay kind of loose. You know, whatever really comes to mind, I kind of just hum it or sing it. It just keeps me in a good mental state, you know, kind of just keep my thoughts on the ball, just the next possession.
So what was yesterday's
tune?
What
was the song?
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't remember. I couldn't tell you. It's probably something that came over the loudspeaker. It changes between each timeout. So timeout goes, and then I hear the next tune, and I know it, and I just start moving to it and singing along.
One of the things that caught my attention was looking at your bio in the UNC Media Guide online. One of your ultimate favorite pastimes is eating a good steak. So I want you to break down, in your opinion, what makes a great steak.
I mean, I think it just has to be cooked right. I mean, it has to have a little bit of fat on it, not too much. Cooked right, like I'm a medium rare person. Cooked right, a little bit of fat, and just a good amount of juice, good flavor. That's all. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Top of the hill. Sponsorship opportunity.
You got a lot out of Colin, didn't you? You got a lot out of Colin, didn't you?
He had the reverse Mark Packer haircut. That's what he had going on. Total reverse Packer. That's what he had going on. Nothing on the sides. Everything on top.
Yes, he did.
Tell you what. The goalies at North Carolina had a big weekend. Both the men and the women. Big weekend.
Yeah, they did. Yep. In fact, one of them is coming up next. Not as a guest. They were guests yesterday. One of them is coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. In fact, the very next segment, because April is in the books. April showers mean May flowers, Pack, or in some cases, more showers. And when we come back, notepad, the best and worst of the month. Charlotte North. Oh, Penley. All right. We're back after this. Packer and Durham on the ACC Network.
Packer and Durham.